The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Tuesday edition. That means tacos for dinner, fella. And a happier happy hour. That means tequila for you, I suspect.
It is Taco Tuesday. It's Tequila Tuesday for me. Happy, happy Taco Tuesday. Like, you're literally having tacos tonight, right?
I did ask Mrs. Crudy if we could do tacos.
Are you like a traditional taco guy? You're like a ground beef taco guy. You know what I mean?
I like chorizo.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, and just for the record, I did get my corned beef and cabbage in. I just had to go the day after St. Patty's Day and buy it on cheap. But I cooked it last night and I ate some leftovers today. So,
oh, man.
You know, I'm working my way around the week.
Heard you burping it up on the prep time, man. So thank you for that. I knew that smelled familiar.
That was the sauteed cabbage. Yeah. You know, we've had a few texts. We get a lot of text times, and Here's one from the WMDX. Well, they can text us in a couple of different ways, Dom. They could use the phone number, 844-967-2789. But we prefer, at least the powers that be here, prefer when people use the shiny Civic Media app, because you just go, you listen to us on the app, and then you can touch the text feature. Hell, they think it's such a big deal. They're doing a ride into spring campaign right now, but we've already had people register for the day. That's only at 3, Dom. We don't continuously do that. But one of the texters on the WMDX said, I remember back in the day when Dom was wrong all the time. And then they said, the times, they are a-changing. Tom from New Berlin texted in, stems and seed. And I'm thinking, well, that's exactly how I remember Dom and his goods or services, seedy and stemmy. But I would point out, for the sake of our audience, Dom, we are the Devil's Advocates around here. You can't always be wrong. Sometimes I take the quote unquote, the wrong opinion, the less popular opinion.
Well, it depends. We have to discuss both sides, sides.
And you and I usually take like 3 seconds and make a determination, you know, knee-jerk style, right. Like, which side of the issue are you on? That I'm against. Beer's for it, I'm against it.
Well, that's all the reason I need.
Ruth Marcus at the Washington Post. Maybe I'll be the bad guy again here. We'll see. But she says, fair's fair. Trump should be able to appeal the judgment against him. That's what she says. On the topic of Donald Trump's asserted inability to scrounge the money to postpone and appeal the mega judgment in his New York civil fraud trial, by all means, Ruth Marcus writes, not Crudy's words, let's enjoy a good chortle at seeing Trump hoisted on the petard of his own braggadocio about his supposedly vast wealth. Well, I agree with you so far. Then let's pause and consider. Is it fair to require Trump to post a bond of this magnitude to be able to appeal the judgment against him? $464 million, including interest, ? Look, there's no one who deserves to be mistreated, and no one more deserves a system rigged against him than Trump. I woke up on Tuesday morning to his latest assertion, which hit me particularly close to home, writes Ruth Marcus. that any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion, they hate everything about Israel, and they should be ashamed of themselves because Israel will be destroyed. How dare he lecture me about what it means to be a good Jew, she writes. But the rule of law counsels, in fact, it demands treating the most repulsive amongst us with the same due process and other elements of fair treatment accorded to more sympathetic characters. Without that, we all sink to the level of Trump, who would eagerly abuse the legal system to punish his enemies and satisfy his hunger for revenge. She writes, I don't know if I agree, Don, but she writes, we are better than that, and the current glee over Trump's financial predicament threatens to let our Trump derangement syndrome, however understandable, override bedrock principles of fairness. Fairness, Dom.
I don't buy it, but I will continue with Marcus' opinion piece over at the Washington Post. I hear you sputtering. Yes, I am. So let me explain, Ruth says. The ability to contest a civil judgment against you has never been deemed a constitutional right, but the concept of appeal is baked into our legal system. After all, lower courts and juries get things wrong. Still, the ability to bring an appeal isn't unlimited. Someone who has been socked with a huge civil penalty, as Trump has, shouldn't be allowed to use the legal system to merely postpone the day of reckoning. That is why parties seeking to overturn judgments against them are required to post a bond, essentially a guarantee by a third party that they will pay up if it comes to that. The party posting the bond gets the benefit of court review. Meanwhile, the other side, the individual or entity, in this case, the people of New York, through State Attorney General Letitia James, has the benefit of knowing that the money will be there if the damage award is upheld. The complication arises, according to Ruth Marcus, in this situation because of the size of the judgment is so massive. Trump was accused and found liable for grossly inflating the value of his properties and financial documents. That enabled him, James argued, to obtain better deals on loans and insurance. New York Superior Court Justice Arthur Engoron in New York, the Supreme Court at the trial level court, agreed, finding Trump and other defendants submitted blatantly false financial data. The judge ordered Trump to repay $354 million plus interest to disgorge his ill-gotten profits. The frauds found here leap off the page and shock the conscience, the judge concluded. The essence of Trump's argument on appeal is that that the supposed harm he has caused was minimal at best. All of his lenders were repaid, and that the penalty leveled against him was therefore wildly excessive. The conundrum is that the very large size of the judgment and the consequent size of the bond that Trump is required to post might make him unable to appeal. He can't get it out, Crude. He can't pay for it. He can't appeal. Trump could pursue his case, but in the meantime, James would be entitled to seize and sell off the former president's assets. Yeah, that can't be right, writes Ruth Marcus. It would mean that the more outrageous and disproportionate a damages award is, the harder it is to appeal. As Trump lawyers argued to the state appeals court, quote, a bond requirement of this enormous magnitude, effectively requiring cash reserves approaching $1 billion, is unprecedented for a private company. Even when it comes to publicly traded companies, courts routinely waive or reduce the bond amount. Enforcing an impossible bond requirement as a condition of appeal would inflict manifest irreparable injury on Trump. On the other side of the equation, Trump's lawyers argue, waiving the bond requirement will impose no cognizable harm on the attorney general. The case involves no actual victims and no award of restitution. She is fully protected by Trump's real estate holdings. They have offered to post a $100 million bond. For her part, James contends that the court lacks the flexibility to modify the bond requirement. And doing so, she said, would severely harm the Office of Attorney General and the public interest by undermining the fundamental purpose of an appeal bond, i.e. to ensure the prevailing plaintiffs have their monetary award fully secured to guarantee prompt execution if it is affirmed on appeal. Ruth Marcus concludes, and I vehemently disagree. I'm not convinced, she writes. You won't find me shedding any tears for Trump if the damages award is eventually upheld and he needs to sell properties or liquidate other assets to satisfy it. Couldn't happen to a shadier guy. But even Trump deserves his day in appeals court. In the end, the rule of law will be on a steadier footing if he has it. Ruth Marcus opines at the Washington Post. What?
I take Come it on. You disagree with the thoughtful Ruth Marcus.
It is thoughtful, and I get it. But I think the problem is you're just scared of a couple of decimal points. If I stole $2,000 from my employer and took it to the casino and made $500 off of it and put it back into the business, is that a crime? And then I get caught. Now I got to pay the $500 back out of the $2,000. Well, that's the money he made, man. This isn't. It was all fine. He satisfied the terms. Everyone got paid back. Well, they got paid back on the terms that were fraudulent to begin with.
But yeah, do you disagree with her?
Because there's an opportunity cost there. And it's not above and beyond that. It's about the trust and the equity of the system itself. If everyone starts saying, hey, I'm going to pop that money out, take it, do something with it, make a little more, put it back when I'm done, and that's how it's going to be, that's going to destroy. You can't have that. You just can't have it in a business sense.
But you understand the difference between, like, let's say the defamation case, the E. Jean Carroll. I believe he had to post $91 million in bond. And I think that's appropriate because there is a damaged victim, right? A human victim. And she has the right to collect that money. But the state of New York has resources available to them that the average E. Jean Carroll, let's say, wouldn't. They have the power to secure any sort of lien, grab, whatever they want to. And I understand the current attorney general is saying, well, we already have the power. Let's exercise it, right? Let's not show any sort of discretion because of the magnitude of the size of the bond that he cannot secure, because no one's ever been fined this much before, right? Which, again, is not Letitia James's fault, but is the facts of the circumstance.
Well, Trump's circumstance. I mean, he put himself in this circumstance. And the judge said that it was so terrible, the amount of fraud, it just jumps off the page. And so just because the decimals are moved doesn't mean it should change whatsoever. It wouldn't if you were $500 on a $2,000 fraud, big deal. That's the same percentage, man. So why
but should,
is it all
should he be forced to sell everything he owns at fire sale prices? What if he prevailed on appeal?
If I couldn't afford the $500 that I had to pay and had to sell something, that's what happened. I'm not going to give the guy a pass because the amount of his fraud was larger than anyone possibly imagined it ever could be.
You're an industrious young guy. You'd be selling handies on the corner. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. 844-967-2789.
Percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. Going there shortly at 844-967-2789.
Dom, let me just say this. Not all callers are created equal. When our colleague in broadcast and a exceptional lawyer in her own regard, when she calls in, she jumps the queue. So I apologize to all the patient listeners. But Maggie Dawn, you go first. Welcome to the party, pal. What do you got for us?
Hey,
Maggie.
Hey guys. So, Mike, I love you. You could not be more wrong. And the reason is...
I'm not wrong. Ruth Marcus might be wrong. I'm just bringing ideas to the party here, sister.
Ruth is wrong.
I can live with that.
Why is Ruth wrong?
Yeah. When a fraud like this occurs, what it does is it costs everyone else within the financial system more money, right? Because you allow lying at this scale, it costs all other lenders all the way through the system more money. And the idea that a state should somehow let this one go is the reason that we weren't able to lock anyone up after the 2008 financial crisis. Because it's a corporation doesn't make it okay. It's still costing people and us little folks more down the line. And if those that control the system refuse to hold the largest corporations and the richest people accountable, that's what the problem is. In other words, why should we ever sort of require the state to, like, oh, it's just a little rounding error? No, it's these kinds of rounding errors that end up costing middle-class Americans a ton of money. It's these sorts of things that cost us all to not, or cause us all to not trust the financial system.
But Maggie Dawn, let me interrupt.
If the cheat is so big.
But Maggie Dawn, let me ask you this. Should the guy have to liquidate all his assets or his New York properties at fire sale prices within 30 days? I mean, 30 days to make bond in a $500 million bond suit. I get it. He's already been found guilty of the civil facts, the preponderance of evidence at trial. So he's already guilty in a way of speaking. But at the end of the day, Maggie, would the state of Wisconsin come after me in 30 days and seize my house if I had a bond payment due to the state? They might lean me, but they don't force me to sell all my assets, do they?
What they can't do is rewrite the rules after the judgment. If he did this and he was found to have done this, these are the costs. If he didn't want to place his entire business empire at risk, he shouldn't have lied about the value of his entire business empire to receive loans on overly favorable terms. Those are the risks. He never thought he would get caught with his hand in the cookie jar. These are the rules. We don't change the rules in the middle of the game. I'm sorry. That's what he's got to do. If you want to play with billions of dollars, you place those billions at risk.
Thank you, Maggie, for the call. You're breaking up a little bit there. Appreciate it. 844-967-2789. No, Crudy, you could get a loan. You could get a loan on the equity in your house, for example. That's what you could do. But the problem is Donald Trump, because of the way he does things, I mean, the very fraud is what he wants to put up as collateral to give him money. I mean, he is a victim of his own circumstance, man. And I would make it. This has already been said and done. Are you going to change it now? In the state of New York, I mean, you talk about the land, I mean, the mountains and the coastline. Those aren't people. The state of New York is full of people, Crudy. I mean, there are people. Tish James represents the people. She doesn't represent just some dirt, man. There are people that are involved here. That's why we have a governance system. This is called self-governance. And when guys play games like that, Ruth Marcus, come on. Absolutely not. I mean, he could, just because he got turned down, because, of course, the fraud coincides with his collateral. No one wants to touch him.
But an appellate court could find that. But you understand, an appellate court could knock down Ingeron and say that this is too far. There's never been a $500 million award of this sort in a fraud trial. So
what is it about the, hang on, you keep mentioning the money. Let's talk about a 25% based fraud. So the fraud was $2 billion over 10 years. The disgorgement is $500 million. That's what, 25%, right? So let's keep it at 25%. You think that's an outrageous amount compared to the fraud? Of course it's not.
I'm just saying in the history of the courts, utilizing the courts in this way, this is nearly an unprecedented action. And although I don't have Maggie here to lean on any longer, if indeed, as the Trump counsel alleges, many publicly held corporations are held to a different bonding standard and aren't held to the full benefit of the bond on appeal. If other corporations aren't held to the same bond standard,
a private corporation full of a bunch of little LLCs, publicly traded corporations use GAAP accounting. They have financials that are due. This is an allegation of fraud.
If they've committed fraud and been found civilly guilty of fraud,
these corporations already have. They have the ability right now. It's not Donald Trump. You know, when you see what's happening, if you invest in any of these publicly traded companies, you get the numbers, man. You know what it is. Donald Trump is a hack LLC layer guy. That's all he is, man.
I'm just saying if the bonds are treated differently, if the crime is the same or the civil forfeiture for fraud is the same, if it's the same or similar crimes, yet the bonding circumstance is different for a C corp as opposed to a designated S corp, a big publicly traded corporation, as opposed to Donald Trump's privately held LLC, my only question is there inconsistencies there? But I can be wrong, man. I've been wrong before. Don't act like I've never been wrong. 844-967-27.
I got a stumbling line.
89. I got the sort of character it takes to be wrong constantly and yet go out and publicly defend my position.
Just for the sake of conversation. Thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice.
I don't think there's been a guy more wrong since, you know, Scott Walker. Who's your Bob? Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Bob. Hello, Bob. What happened to Bob? Bob, call us back, man.
I'm losing faith in Bob. Bob.
967-2789. Annie from Watertown. Welcome, Annie. What do you got for
us? Annie.
Well, if it is true that he does not have these funds, then he is guilty of perjury, because not only did he lie in this case that he was
Maybe he had the funds. He spent the funds. He went out to Vegas. Long weekend.
He also lied then in the process of this court where he was sworn to tell the truth, because, and I've heard the recording, I don't know, he basically said he was worth way more than this and had more than this at hand, and, you know, and this was in the process of the court proceedings where he under oath said that he was worth a whole bunch more. So that's perjury. You know, so he's guilty of perjury there. And
yeah. Oh, sorry, finish your thought, Annie.
These laws that these rich white guys make, you know, come on, these are the laws. And if it was anybody else, Trump would be saying, hey, well, that's the law. Got to follow the law.
Well, only if the defendant was a brown person, not a billionaire like him, right? Supposed billionaire. Got a few nice texts coming in. Maggie Dawn for Congress. And Dana from God's Country says, correct, can't change the rules after you lose. Trump needs a new walk-up song. I think it should be the Beretta theme. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. More Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. A happier, happy hour rolling through it. Your phone calls always welcome here. And the text. We like the text as well. You know, you can use the 844-967-2789, or you can use the Shiny Civic Media app. I've noted a couple of texts. Our party and friend Lisa Joe from Madison texting in.
Yeah.
Both of his daughters married billionaires. What's wrong with a little loan amongst the family? Shouldn't this be a family matter? Shouldn't they take care of it in the family, Dom? That's what the Italians always do. Here's another thought or two. Well, Jeff, our S-talking lawyer friend from Shorewood, says C-Corp can be private or public. Public held corp would have access to bonding. Well, not if he was the chairman of the board of directors, perhaps.
It probably wouldn't be traded publicly very long.
Another texter on WMDX from the 740. Any other person would be steamrolled by our judicial system in this situation. What happens to any other person who cannot pay their bond? They go to effing jail. Well, again, this is different than a bail bond in that these are civil charges, and he was found by a preponderance of evidence to be guilty of the allegations. But these are not criminal charges against him or the Trump org. You know what I mean? Nobody's going to jail. Even if he can't pay the bill, no one's going to jail. Not for civil stuff.
Let's say you wasted the money you made on your fraud, and maybe the numbers, let's work out realistic numbers of a $200,000 fraud, and you cleared $50,000 out of it. You took that $50,000 and some of your other money, you bought some property with it. Now you no longer have the $50,000 liquid, but you got some property, you got another mortgage against it, whatever. And then maybe you take out a HELOC because, you know.
Are you describing your own lifestyle right now? But please continue.
I'm just telling you. I'm just saying. So put it in real circumstances, in normal, but keep the percentage the same. All of a sudden, now you got maybe $20,000 equity left in a $200,000 property, but you put $50,000 into it, but now you got caught. Now you got to sell it. Well, you don't have enough money in there. to you know, no one's going to give you a loan because of your fraud, perhaps. Now you got to liquidate the property. And you know what you do? People sell their homes, man. If you get popped for something like that in a civil case, even if it's a civil, you got to get, that's it. You're done. You got to sell the home. You got to take out a note. You got to, you know, pass the hat. You got to get a GoFundMe. Like Donald Trump has, he's got like $1 million in the GoFundMe. So Mark Levin, who's so salty today because no Republican billionaires have given up and given Donald Trump money, he says it's outrageous. Why isn't this happening? Well, Mark, I would suggest, why don't you take all your money and put it in the GoFundMe for Donald Trump? Oh, hell, just give it to Donald Trump. I'm sure he'll pay you back. And of course, the other thing, and someone might step up, I wouldn't doubt it, because you know, most, when you get to be that kind of level, there's a lot of narcissism going on, you know, got to start believing your own press. Trump is toxic. I mean, literally, Trump is toxic. I mean, Navarro's going to jail today. Trump is toxic. Everyone that does work with Trump, either you hate his guts and afterwards, and he's the worst thing. Just listen to all the Republicans, all the people who used to work with him. Listen to what they say. They haven't been, they're all former coffee people, but Trump is toxic. That's why no one wants to help the guy out. Yet
you not only shook his hand, you share a birthday with the man. You he got shook some of that hand. Toxicity on you now.
I just reciprocated.
You got the stank hand. Here is what the Raw story is reporting, Dom. A tweet on the former Twitter platform by Mark Levin, your buddy. Why are there no? Actually, I should pinch my nose. He's very nasally. Yeah. Why are there no Republican multi-billionaires offering to lend President Trump the funds to file his appeal in this outrageous case in New York State? Are none of them liquid enough to help or join with others to help? This is an outrage. In the comment thread that opened up beneath Levin's post, ex-users mock Levin for suggesting that billionaires should rush to Trump's rescue. Won't someone think of the little guy? I mean, let me ask you, hasn't he been speaking with Elon Musk? I mean, if Elon can burn $44 billion burning down Twitter, he could certainly afford to burn another $500,000 being buddies with Trump, right? And, you know, I saw it postulated yesterday by a Democratic congressman. Well, we know what Donald Trump's price now is, this presidential nominee of the Republican Party. Well, it's about $454 million plus interest. You want to buy the guy? Just pay up. Isn't that a dangerous situation this country finds itself in?
Of course it is. Absolutely it is. It is the entire reason that you have kind of the background checks and all things that the FBI and the government services, they go into these things. Because if you are compromised, if you behave in a certain, you know, lifestyle, there are some things that make you more vulnerable to, call it, I don't know, blackmail. So, yeah, Donald Trump is a prime example of that. We knew that the first time he was in. Now he's going to be in again and owe $500 million to someone. And I don't care if it's, you know, the migrant Elon Musk, or if it's the Saudis who are in business with his son-in-law, or if it's direct from Putin through Deutsche Bank. He's going to owe somebody something. And that's a more dangerous spot to be in than it was the last time he went in and pilfered all our national secrets.
Do you see, I know we talked earlier this week, I believe it was this week, about the divestiture, the forced divestiture, perhaps, of TikTok, selling it off. And I see two of the interested parties that want to buy it. And I know lots of people are concerned. Lots of young progressives use the TikTok. It's a communications mechanism. And to shut it down might be to shut down a platform often more utilized by the left than the right. But the two interested parties I've seen so far, Steve Mnuchin, the movie producer guy, who was also, what, the Treasury Secretary under Trump?
Under Trump, yeah.
And the Saudis.
Bonesaw.
So much better that the Saudis would own your information than the Chinese. So much better.
Or Mnuchin, because what could possibly go wrong there?
844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Dick from Madison. Out in the garage. How you doing, Dick?
Hey, Dick.
Good, guys. You know, that one time you were wrong, Crudy, and you should get over it.
That's when was that time one time? Ago. That was a long time. So long ago, I forgot.
Yeah.
Rico's still holding me accountable for my bad behavior literally That was 1990. That was
wow.
30-something years ago, Dick.
Yeah, Bush the Elder was president, for crying out loud.
I've been nothing but a choir boy since.
Yes, I know. Promise.
But, you know, I'm of the persuasion Trump's never going to go behind bars. I'm sick of this system.
You take it back, Dick.
I have read and heard that they can go outside of the New York State for properties.
Yeah, they'd have to utilize state courts. I mean, it could be months and years, but they could go grab Mar-a-Lago, for instance.
That's what I wanted to go to. Get him so that he has to put the for sale sign there and go back to New York where everybody hates him. You know, nobody likes him in New York City. And then he can just sit in New York and have to hopscotch from one property to another while they sell him off.
So you're looking to be punitive here. You're looking for a pound of flesh or perhaps more.
Oh, justice, Dick. Justice, Dick. Thanks for the call, man. Listen, if the guy can't post it, and I've seen reports.
His out-of-state residents to drive him back to New York and scarcity and you know, humiliation. Now,
I'm not worried about your ego when you try to overturn, you know, and steal my vote. So let's just step back for just a moment. If we may.
What about justice reform? I've heard you advocate for reformative justice.
These Republicans, they're soft on crime. I mean, Navarro's going to do 90 days. He was sentenced to 4 months. Soft on crime Republicans, I tell you. But listen, Donald Trump told us when we were in Iowa all so many years ago, he was worth $10 billion. And I've seen reports of, you know, $2 to $3 billion from like Forbes and other folks like that. So let's assume, let's just call it two. It's worth $2 billion. What does that mean? Does that mean he's flush with two? He's liquid two? Like he could sell everything and still have two left over? Or is that $2 billion, everything added up, their total value is two, and then he's got leverage?
Well, that's not net worth. You know what net worth is. You got your MBA. You know that's after all the mortgages and stuff are paid off, he would have liquid assets of perhaps $2 billion. But you go sell it all, man. You got cap gains. You got New York cap gains, which are more substantial than most states. I mean, he could have a 40% tax hit for the right to liquidate properties, man, and fire sale prices.
On the profit from your fraud, then now you got a fire sale price to pay the tax. Are you kidding me? Like, yeah, and? What are you talking about? Yeah, and? That's my question, because if it were you or me, rich on the board, man, we would all be selling the stuff and be on the corners begging for money. So just because it's a former president and it's Donald Trump and $1 billion and he was in Home Alone 2 and he had The Apprentice. Are you freaking kidding me, people? Come on. No, absolutely not. Because everyone else, we would be squeezed too. We would feel shame too. We wouldn't like it as well. We would think that it's against us. The system's rigged against us. But the guy made millions of dollars off of his fraud.
What if he did nothing but lose money? All evidence is he does nothing but lose money in the business world, Dom. Maybe it was a crime of desperation.
The opportunity cost that the banks did not realize, right? And Donald Trump, yes. Maybe he's got less than the $2 billion liquid. Maybe he's got $1 billion liquid. You know, maybe he's got like $600 million liquid.
May I say this? I don't feel too bad for Deutsche Bank, and I don't feel too bad for anyone that would lend Donald Trump money under any circumstance, because, you know, you're making a deal with the devil, right? And if you're making a deal with the devil, don't you factor that in your underwriting standards? I mean, don't you feel like he's got to be a little more liquid or he's got to have a little more equity? Can you imagine possibly, after a personal interview, he sits down with the rich guy banker. And I know they looked at this guy as a whale as an opportunity to make money for their own firms. But they also had to bake into the cake the fact that this guy is a pathological liar when they chose to do business with him. When you've got a disclaimer on your financials, you can't believe any of my financials. Well, then there is some buyer beware there, right? And sure. Don't these financial institutions have their own responsibility to investigate and assure? Because I can tell you, man, they always sent an appraiser out to my house. And if I said my wife's sleeping in there, they're still going to wake her up and measure the bedroom.
And your point being what exactly?
My point being is this supposed fraud had a willing dance partner in these banks. And they knew he had a bad reputation, multiple bankruptcies, and a history of god-awful business track record. Yet they chose to do business with him. So I am suggesting there's got to be some equity there somewhere, some liquidity, some there, because I don't believe all these financial institutions got totally shystered by this grifter. You know what I mean? I think they went in there eyes wide open.
Well, certainly. I would expect that to be. But again, those publicly traded financial institutions also have duties and obligations to their shareholders and their bondholders. So when they do business with something like that, hopefully they padded the books, right? Or they padded the account. They know they're going to get paid more, perhaps. But that is irrelevant to the fact of the faith in the financial system. If everybody
But you keep telling me about opportunity loss, and I'm not telling you. You think he's gotten the most favorable interest rates under every circumstance with his prior credit?
Do you think that he did not get more favorable rates by being fraudulent about his actual asset value?
I assume there's some evidence there predicated on the books and the fact that he was found guilty.
Now we're talking about amount.
The
amount determined by the judge to be about $450 million with interest. I mean, I don't know what to say, man. That's what it is. Because if we go at, man, and sign those documents, we're fraudulent on our loan applications. I mean, come on, Cohen. I mean, you can't do that stuff. If it were you and me, we would be prosecuted for that. Would we not?
How long do you think it's going to foreclose on Trump Tower? I mean, first they'll have to foreclose. Then they'll have to fire sale it. I mean, it's going to be years before they're going to collect this money.
Yeah, and?
Wouldn't we already be through the appellate process by then, theoretically? Because it doesn't take long to say no to a guy. Just ask my banker. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now at 844-967-2789. Stick around, the Busted Pencils coming up next.
Dom, you know, I'm not afraid to take an unpopular position on this radio show. You've heard me do it a lot lately.
I appreciate that.
You know, for the sake of argument, for the sake of, you know, flushing out the details. But I had always liked to think that we come from our own, you know, basic beliefs. We can be convinced by, let's call it evidence, good sourcing. We will change our minds. And, sure. You know, I might feel it strongly at the moment, emotionally, knee-jerk reactionary. But, you know, given time to consider all the evidence, let's say, I might come back and change my mind, Dom. But I look at that as an act of character. And when Robin Voss reportedly has changed his mind, I see it as an act of zero character. Because Robin Voss allegedly, according to the headline at the Journal Sentinel this minute, Robin Voss once called Trump's candidacy a suicide mission. Now he's endorsing him. Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, Republican, is endorsing Donald Trump, even though Donald Trump came to Wisconsin and endorsed against Robin Voss and, in fact, broke campaign finance law, allegedly, feloniously, to try and benefit Robin Voss's primary opponent, Adam Steen. And today, the characterless Assembly Speaker comes out and endorses Donald Trump. Dateline.
Thank you,
Madison.
May I have another?
Oh, Jesus.
Thank
Christ.
You, may I have another?
After calling the nomination of Donald Trump as the GOP presidential candidate a suicide mission for Republicans, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss now says he believes the former president can win the Badger State this fall.
Thelma Louise, baby.
Has been a target of Trump since 2021 when the legislator's top Republican refused to take steps to overturn Trump's loss in Wisconsin and withstood a primary challenge Trump helped fund, leading Voss to pledge to try as hard as I can. That was his quote. Then, Dom, to ensure Trump did not secure the GOP nomination.
He tried really hard.
But now, after Trump has prevailed in the GOP presidential primary, Voss is endorsing Trump and says he believes the former president can win Wisconsin again.
Like 2024 or 2020, 2022? What?
Here is what Voss told reporters following the WisPolitics event in Madison. I wish I'd known. Maybe I would have attended. If I'd have known he was going to go out and endorse, I would have laughed in Robin Voss's face so loud. I mean, because I would have known the context. And, you know, the average journalist would not have guffawed him to his face, but I would have. It's going to be a choice between two men. I quote the assembly speaker. It's not going to be a choice between what do I think the president should be? What do I think the president shouldn't be?
That's exactly what it is.
It's going to be, do you think the policies that Joe Biden has put in place over the course of the past 4 years are better for the country? Or were times better under Donald Trump when we actually had low inflation, low taxes, and more control at the border? And millions of people dying in a pandemic. They never bring that part up, Dom.
It was great, man. Gas was so cheap back then when no one was driving or going anywhere.
Dom, less than a year ago, Voss told reporters in May of 23 he did not believe Trump could defeat President Joe Biden in a rematch of the 2020 election that rocked the country. Biden defeated Trump in Wisconsin by about 20,000 votes, a victory Trump sought to overturn in part prompted by an attack on the January 6, 2021 by his supporters on the Capitol. And his comments were made after Trump had spent months badgering Voss to take illegal steps to overturn his legitimate loss in Wisconsin. Trump's efforts lit fires under discontent already brewing amongst Republicans in the party's base, who at times didn't like the state party's approach and emboldened beliefs among some that Trump did actually win in 2020 and Voss could do something about the perceived injustice. Trump then endorsed and helped fund a primary challenger to Voss, who assembly speaker easily defeated in 2022. Easily defeated? He barely beat the guy. It was 280 votes, Molly Beck. I wouldn't call that easily defeated. He won the fall general easily. He almost got defeated in the primary when Donald Trump came to Waukesha and endorsed against him. Right, Dom?
Mm-hmm. That's my recollection, Michael. Voss said at in a May 2023 event hosted by the Milwaukee Press Club, I do not believe Donald Trump can win the state of Wisconsin. I don't want to nominate people who can't win. Why would Republicans pick the one person that Joe Biden can beat? This is stupid. Again, that was Voss less than a year ago. In a separate May of 2023 appearance on the Capital Times Wedge Issues podcast, Voss says, I don't know why we would go through a suicide mission. On Tuesday, Voss changed course and said he definitely thinks Trump can win in 2024. Voss had previously floated the possibility of voting for Trump if he became the nominee. I think most Wisconsinites are going to look and say they long for the times when we had somebody who tweeted too much but had better policies for the country. Yeah, it's all the tweeting. That was the problem, Crudy. It was just so much tweeting. It's not the insurrection or the overthrowing of the government or the, you know, trying to get you, Robin Voss, assembly speaker in the state of Wisconsin, longest serving assembly speaker in Wisconsin's history, trying to get you to, I think you said, what, unconstitutionally overturn the election? That guy? And you're going to vote for him now. Okay.
Well, he already hired a Gableman for him. He already empowered Janelle Branchen for him. He did everything short of decertifying the 2020 election at the bequest of the Cheeto Messiah. And let's not forget, just days ago, they found out the effort to recall Robin Voss, which of course would have been supported. There would have been Donald Trump in Racine, Mount Pleasant, coming out to campaign against Robin Voss specifically. I guarantee it. And Robin Voss knows it. And Robin Voss comes out, this man of zero character, and he endorses the enemy. The suicide mission. Robin Voss must be sick being assembly speaker. I'm just saying. I mean, to come out and endorse Trump, you know, I understand politically he's your nominee. What are you going to do? But I got to say,
you don't endorse Trump, man. That's what you do.
You never endorse Donald Trump, Robin Voss. I mean, I would say I've lost respect for the man, but that'd be hard to do. Never had much, but, you know, a little strategically, I thought he is A brilliant man strategically, politically.
So what, you think he's politically incorrect on this one? He sees what's happening. The MAGA has taken over the Republican Party. Even if whatever's left of the Republican Party is gasping their dying breaths, well, maybe he'll get another couple of years as the, Speaker of the Assembly.
I just regret the fact we couldn't have teamed up with Donald Trump to defeat Robin Voss during a recall primary. Folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part. We'll do it again tomorrow with the Hump Day Edition. Devil's Advocates, the Busted Pencils, Educated Educators Talking Education, next on the Civic Media Network.
Thanks.